listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
All righty, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show, and beautiful Sunday morning here. Dr. Feel Good, Aretha Franklin. That's soulful breakfast music that gets you going. And all the aches and pains you discovered last night, you listen to that, you forget your toes that were aching and your feet that were aching, start to feel good. So anyway, I know I'm just trying to synopsize. It means much more than that if you listen to the lyrics, but what the heck. Anyway, you know, as usual, in a continuation of these efforts of waste, fraud, and abuse in government, we've talked about what we're going to talk about this morning is things that I've talked about specifically, and it's not a rehashing, it's a clarification, and also to share with you, the listeners out there, that you've heard me say in a reckless fashion, someone might describe it, that we've lost control of our government and don't trust our government and all. But I think we can trust government, but we can't trust the individuals at times. And so that's what we're going to be speaking about this morning. I'm going to be talking about, I warn all of you that care to some of these politicians might be good guys in your eyes and may have kissed your babies and shaken your hand and said hello. But it won't be about that. It's about us as a community and collectively what they're doing or what they're not willing to do. So you heard me talk extensively about the Waianae Coast area and grants involving the city and county of Honolulu, more specifically a city employee, Miss Patty Teruya. And we have filed a number of complaints with the Ethics Commission on her actions, so it's not, don't want to be characterized as gossip. If she's out there and would like to call in and offer her input on this, I'm more than happy to entertain her or welcome her into the... But what has happened, I have Miss Michelle Leal and also the Stephen Pratt, Mr. Stephen Pratt. Mr. Pratt is from Shaka Kids Foundation, and Miss Leal, or Michelle, is from Konishiki Kids. And we're going to talk about the grants and the handling of the grants. And now, we file complaints, we, all of us, and a great many of them, and a lot of you have shared that you file complaints, and some of you don't want to come forward because you're concerned with retaliation. But these communities have good people in them, like Mr. Pratt, like Konishiki's Foundation and others. And they've been met with some very disturbing treatment and behavior on the part of the city at the hands of Mr. Patty Teruya. And I'll lay it out, and I think I'll be able to, and with their assistance, in sharing greater detail. But having said all of that, I hope that all of you listen, and so don't be so careless to say that this is a picking on as a talking stink. I want to elevate your thoughts above that. This is about taxpayers having zero control, and we were promised. I was promised by Mayor Carlisle's top person, assistant, that they were working on this matter and the complaints we had filed. They were working on them, and they would take action, and they would resolve these behaviors that have been found to be true, some of them, that we alleged against Ms. Teruya. And yet, instead of firing her, removing her, what they did, and we will lay it out, they took her out of the front office, so to speak, and moved her in the side office, so to speak, and allowed her to engage in the same activities, so out of sight, out of mind, I guess. This is the Carlisle's way of treating this. And the Ethics Commission Mr. Chuck Cotto and his special investigator, they failed the public on this one, because if we can find the evidence and willing to give it to them and have given it to the ethics investigators, and they come up and she still has her job or hadn't received a harsh punishment and still allowed to do what it is that we were complaining about. So anyway, long-winded. Good morning, Michelle, and good morning, Stephen.
Hello.
And tell us a little bit. You, Michelle, you've been with me on the show before on this subject. And Stephen, you're new, but we talked briefly about you the last time we conversed. So tell us a little bit about Shaka Kids, first of all.
Well, Shaka Kids basically is the Shaka Foundation, and it's a sentiment for supporting, helping achieve kids' athletics, arts, and academics. Mm-hmm. And we are connected to the foster programs at the moment. We are new, you know. We're trying to establish roots inside our community, and that's where it all started. Just the means of being there for the community, for areas in our society where it needs help.
Mm-hmm.
We focus on our children. And that's all. It's all about our children of Hawaii. How we can support those that need the support.
Mm-hmm.
to build their self-esteem,
mm-hmm.
Be able to get their education that's needed, and use their talents. Whether it's being an athlete, singer, which is in the arts category, and if they're very intelligent, they got a very smart mind. Give them an opportunity to move on in the scholastic area. So what we're trying to do is drive these children to areas that they feel, where they can be a standout community leader.
Yeah.
By their talents. And that's what we're trying to bring out here. We've trying to root ourselves, in our community as well as in the state of Hawaii. To start this, and we had a beautiful opportunity to start with our first event that we ever got involved with was with the city and county mayor's event, which is the Sunset on the Beach,
mm-hmm.
which Patty Taruya heads that department, and to make this story short, basically we were picked to do an event, and the end result, we couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. And we'll talk
exactly.
Greater extensive about it. Michelle, real quick, tell us a little bit about Konishi's Kids and basically how you came about and involved in this.
Okay, well, first of all, Carol, I just want to thank you for your hard work that you put in the community to bring out topics like this that are like not deserving of good people, or people trying to do good in the community. And I appreciate the hard work that you put in to expose these types of things so that they don't continue to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I closely work with Konishiki and the Konishiki Kids Foundation, and this has been at least over 10 years. And the reason why Konishiki put this foundation together, because he himself came from the area where he had economic challenges, and because of that he had it very hard in his lifetime, and when he went to Japan, little did he know that his career would take him to another level, to be a celebrity in that.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, he wanted to channel his successes by giving back to the children in the community that he lives in. And so what he's done was, he would have never had the opportunity to go to an international country like Japan, but through his opportunity, he went.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wanted to give that to the children in his area. So he took over 500 children every year for the last 10 years to Japan working closely with the Department of Education to take 35 to about 40 children. Mm-hmm. And when they were there, as you interviewed him at one time, I mean, he shared what he did. You know, they had cultural learning, and he was able to spend time with the children. Mm-hmm. So 2008, because, you know, financially it's tough, you know, so we weren't able to do the trips. But what we did was we gave $70,000, $10,000 to each elementary in our community, and asked them to write a list of all their needed supplies for a particular classroom. We did that in 2008. 2009, we weren't able to do anything, but this year, due to the tragic in Japan, in April, Konishiki, what we've been doing is we've been going to the community. He's fed over 5,000 people and went to 5 different shelters. And so that's kind of our mission now. We're visiting orphans and we're visiting children that were affected by this. Mm-hmm. And we're feeding. So he did one feeding of these and visited them in April, and now he's doing it in June, and so that's kind of what we're doing now.
Okay. Well, for the listeners, later on, if you want to call 524-1080, 524-1080, and if you could, if you have questions, keep them kind of short, because we got quite a bit to talk about, but you're more than welcome to call in. One of the things I got to tell you is that this is about grants, and Ms. Padichuri is the special events coordinator during the time that, Stephen, you put in for a grant, correct?
That's correct, sir.
And your grant was going to involve you having a function out at Hawaii Kai Side.
Correct.
Walk us through that a bit, and I want to share with the public and the listeners out there, just without painting it or just present it the way it unfolded. You applying, why you applied for a grant, what type of grant it was, who administered it, and Mr. Ruya's involvement and what has it done for you. You're still struggling with this thing because they want you to pay back the grant. But give us greater details, if you will.
Okay. Well, it all started that we we was approached by I guess you could say Carlisle Crowley's basically approached our foundation, stating that if we were interested in doing this this event in the Hawaii Kai area, and basically in order to do this event, you need to be a nonprofit organization, which I am. Based on my credentials, now they gave me an application basically to receive a grant from the city and county, as well as HTA, which is Hawaii Tourism Authority. And through the process, I was aided by Patty, also, you know, by helping me put this.
Because she was the coordinator, she was the person, the main.
Yeah, at the time I didn't know.
Right.
You know, I was blind to anything that was going on. I just thought she was, there to aid in the process, which she was. She was a great help. And I put my grant together and I submitted it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was given the opportunity to be fortunate enough to receive this grant, which was a $5,000 grant from the city and HTA. And through the process, things have developed and started to change. And with the help of Carlo Crowley, she's helped also in the process. Other than that, I can go through more.
So you filed this application, and she was assisting you, and also, good morning, Carlisle. I have Carlisle Crowley who's joined us.
Good morning.
And so Carlisle was working with the program and introduced you to it, Stephen. So you put in for a grant.
Yes.
And the total amount was?
That was $5,000.
And what was the type of grant? What's the title of the grant?
The title of the grant was basically to aid in the event, which is they call it the Sunset on the Beach. It's a mayor's event. Mm-hmm. And my initial proposal was to try and get $20,000, which I only received just five, which is great. I mean, anything is better than nothing these days. So,
right.
I was so joyful in it because I have written many, many grants and never got one. And this was my first. So I was very excited about it. So my foundation, my board members was all ecstatic, and we were like, yeah, gung-ho, let's get this thing going. And through the process, like I said, it was the short story version, but the long story, as time went on, I started to see a whole lot of stuff where I was very uncomfortable with. I started to see things where, like, wow, you know, the control methods, how the city works.
On the part of Patty, because the listeners hearing that, they're going,
right,
what are you talking about? Was there a robot? You mean Ms. Teruya start to introduce issues or problems, concerns?
Well, first of all, my initial grant, actually my initial event, my venue, was to do a sunset on a beach at Moana Little Bay. You know, and it was supposed to happen in March. Patty Teruya, you know, I think a month and a half later from the initial getting the grant, she called me in to her office, which actually was Mayor Mufi's office, over in Kapolei. We went into the office and she proposed something different to me. She said, you know what, we're not going to do this sunset on the beach in Moana Little Bay. What I want to do is a sunset on the beach at Sandy Beach, you know, using the carnival, which is E.K. Fernandez's carnival.
Right.
So, and right then and there in his office, she changed my venue, you know, which, I mean, she sold it to me basically saying that this is a better opportunity, you'll make more money for your foundation. I said, that's great. You know, you know, she's helping us, aiding us in a better direction, which I was really happy about. The fact, I mean, that same day, she went ahead and scheduled our foundation to do an E.K. Fernandez at Sandy Beach in October. So basically, she changed our date from March to October. I don't know if she had the authority to do so, but she did.
But she did.
Yeah.
But she's a coordinator.
Right.
And we don't question the coordinator because that's her official. And this is a Hawaii Tourism Authority grant, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And so you put in for originally $20,000, but you eventually got $5,000?
Right.
Okay, and so she set it up for you. She recommended Sandy Beach, and that was a date schedule. She then changed your date.
Correct.
To October.
Right.
Of 2010. So then what happens then? I mean, and what I want the listeners to know is that while all of this is happening now, you've heard me tell you about Ms. Teruya getting a grant from the special funds on the landfill, the benefit packages at Waianae, which we question. But she also is receiving a grant from this same grant, the HTA grant, and she received money to, again, fund her program at Waimanalo Park out there in Waimanalo. But I'm going to, hopefully you follow this, and that it's critical. She's handling the grants and orchestrating and coordinating and administering a great bit of it. And then she's able to get one of those grants for her own private nonprofit organization, the Waimanalo Construction Coalition. So she moves your date.
Correct.
But I understand you were in meeting, you found that you were, as things went on, you found that she was being difficult and you had to uninvite her, or can you explain that? Or you had to move on because you explained it. What transpired?
Well, what happened, which she was very, she wasn't communicating with me very, very well. And I've seen her I was CC'd some emails to certain people, and I was questioning her moves, where she wasn't focusing on the event at Sandy Beach. She was looking at other, and so I kind of emailed her saying, well, what happened to Sandy Beach? And she said, well, we won't go there, kind of pushed me off to the side. I said, well, I need to know. I mean, I'm selling this venue to all my sponsors, mm-hmm. you know, that they want to get involved. You know, and I failed to mention earlier, she also suggested we do a surf contest in conjunction mm-hmm. with my event, mm-hmm. Which makes it a bigger event. More people involved, more children. The surf contest was to involve only children only, you know. We had professional surfers involved. We had the greatest, we had the Coral Tree Foundation, who Coral Casimera is a professional surfer. He was totally involved with this amongst his, you know, people that he surfed with, you know, and that caliber.
So you're out networking and committing with other entities.
Right.
And you're moving on.
Exactly.
She's not supporting this, but you, at some point, you uninvited her because you had to move on. Or what,
yeah.
What's the, real quickly, what was the,
well,
how was that transfer?
A few months later, I mean, based on her not showing up to meetings, she set up meetings and pulled no, you know, a no-show or made up excuses why she couldn't come, and the fact that she's being very hard to deal with, mm-hmm. you know, and she missed one of the most important meetings you can ever have when doing this type of event.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first meeting which everybody needs to be there. I mean, she stresses that from the front. If you miss this meeting, you know, you're out, basically.
Right.
Yeah, so she threatened me and my committees and all that. We had our committee. Everything was all geared, ready to go. We showed up for this meeting, and she pulled a no-show.
Because you have a deadline.
Exactly.
Your event is planned, and you've
yeah.
now reached out, spent money that you don't have because you're a nonprofit.
Right. She kept pushing my meetings further back and back because of her own meetings at the Waimanawa Coalition thing. So I took a back seat to her event, mm-hmm. you know, which caused chaos in mine because we need things to move on. Time was of an essence, and she just wasn't there to help us. So, mm-hmm. you know, my board members all came together and said, hey, this lady's not helping us out here.
Right.
Can we get somebody else that, mm-hmm. that could focus on us? Because apparently she's not focused. She's not putting any time in our event, which is important to us.
Right.
You know, I know maybe her Waimanawa Coalition Carnival is important to her, but I'm not saying I don't care.
Right.
But, you know,
but you,
I had investors, I had people, I had money spent, I had insurance paid, a lot of money was put in. I had the whole community getting involved with, you know, Kaiser High School graduate, Project Grad,
mm-hmm.
Their football, their soccer team. I had Galaxy soccer teams. I had a whole bunch of people involved getting ready for this event. And I needed somebody from that represented the city that would help. And we were, like, in limbo because the city and county was not coordinating.
Right.
In other words, Patty never told the park director that we're going to do an event.
That was Lester Chang at the time, so he wasn't informed.
That's
so.
Alan.
You know, it was Alan Hong.
Alan Hong at Hanama Bay.
Right. Okay. He runs that whole entire territory.
Okay.
He didn't know. Apparently, we did have that place reserved
right.
on that date, but he didn't know what was going to be happening. So
now, let me ask you this real quick. The dates were changed.
Correct.
She couldn't make the key meeting, and you shared with me why she, the explanation, or what you found later. Why didn't she attend that meeting?
Initial meeting? Well,
the major meeting, the main meeting.
Well, she sent her assistant in her place,
right.
Which she wasn't prepared for the meeting. She had no agenda. My initial question to us, where's Patty?
Right.
And her answer was, oh, she had more important things to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm like, more important than my event?
That you've been planning
right.
and spent money
yeah.
on.
No, I don't know where she went or her reason why she didn't come. It that was just mentioned. According to, I believe, Carlisle.
Yeah, Carlisle, you shared with me that meeting, she was absent.
Yeah, she was absent. It was really unfortunate because I've worked with Patty for over 3 years now, and directly with the nonprofits and indirectly with her, and she always has her city and county people prepared
mm-hmm.
for that meeting. We were 7 weeks out from the event, I believe, around there.
Correct.
And she had kept postponing that meeting with Shaka Kids,
And when you're 7 weeks out to a major event and you have your head of police, you have your parks, you know, everybody was there. Mm-hmm. But they had no idea what was going on. And in working with her, there's never been a time that her city people weren't prepared.
Mm-hmm.
So the Shaka kids, they had all their ducks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
They had all their chair people, you know, ready for that meeting. And it wasn't like she didn't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
She just chose not to show up. And then who she brought in her stead, her assistant, she wasn't even qualified to be there at that moment. You know, she didn't even know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
It made us look bad, too, because the police department, they were asking a bunch of questions, and they should have already known that information.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Hong, the parks people, he should have known what was going on, but he was still questioning if they should have the event at Sandy Beach at all. At that moment, we're 7 weeks out. We've been planning this for an entire year almost.
And these are things that she generally would take care of, making sure coordinated.
In a heartbeat, and it was not taken care of.
Special events coordinator. Now, you, in our conversations, there was talk that she, later you found that she was attending a fundraiser because she couldn't make it. Is that correct?
I believe so. I think
we either know or we don't. I don't want to sit here and represent something that.
Yes, I understand that she was in YNI and she was, I guess it was Nani Kapono, and she had Peter Carlisle's meet and greet.
They're in YNI.
Yeah, Nanakuli.
Nanakuli.
Yeah, the school there. I don't know.
So that was the explanation. Later, you've learned that. So now you're out on a limb. You then learn that while you're still planning and still, because you're down to the wire pretty much, and you've invested money, you've committed others, other organizations, your credibility is on the line, if nothing else.
Correct.
And your credit, because you're extending yourself, right?
Right.
Now, you get out there, and you find out that you have your dates changed, correct? What date were you originally scheduled again?
We're the mid, 2 weeks out of, in March, I believe it's on the 15th and stuff.
Okay, and so you had March 15th around that date scheduled, and then she changes it.
She changed it to October 15th.
October 15th.
Yeah.
And so then October 15th, then you learn that she changes her date for her organization.
She changed her date prior. She already had her date changed from the date that she scheduled me was her original date for her event in Wamanal.
That she gave you?
Right.
Okay.
So she pushed hers in August. I mean, was it August? I believe in August.
Right.
And moved ours to October.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, your date's moved back to October. She moves hers. And so how is it that when you find this out, what does it make you feel, or what do you think that she's the city coordinator for these events, and then you learn that she has her own organization, has a grant, and she's also coordinating for her own organization, picking and choosing dates on her own? What happened?
Well, in my perspective at the time,
right?
I thought it was okay because I didn't know any better. This is the first time around the block for me. All right, so I thought, okay, she's doing us a favor by giving us a good date, which is further down, meaning I can have more time to plan.
Mm-hmm.
So everything looked great from my perspective. You know, as we moved forward and started to get things going, things just started falling off to the side. And I was getting worried. Mm-hmm. I was getting the support. So because she missed that important meeting, I felt she didn't care about my event for whatever reason her intentions were. I asked that the city give me someone else to work with to help me, you know, close this deal to get my event going.
Right.
And I think when we did meet her bosses, you know, asking for someone else to support us, and then we tell them this is what we have, and then they say, oh, Patty didn't tell us this. There's no communication going on because Patty had total control. So now we have to go through the whole process of getting accepted again to have the event at Sandy Beach.
At Sandy Beach.
Right.
Now, I want the listeners, I want you to be clear about this. You learned that the dates moved and this and that, and now she's not involved You get a letter, or you were informed that she patted through, you had ridden the neighborhood board?
Exactly.
Then let the listeners know how this unfolded. You told about a letter that she wrote the neighborhood board. Did she communicate that same letter that she... And what was in that letter, real quick?
Well, basically, the letter was stating that she in her position, is not going to support our event at Sandy Beach. Mm-hmm. Basically, the short version, basically. Mm-hmm. She went on and on saying reasons or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Just what are a few of the reasons that she gave?
She was saying that the grounds weren't right for the event.
Has she told you that?
There's no parking.
Had she shared that with you?
She had mentioned, the only thing she mentioned was that prior to that was the grounds were too soft.
Okay.
Seeing that E.K. Fernandez said that.
Mm-hmm.
I went to E.K., asked him, is that true? He said, no, I didn't say that.
Okay.
The second event was that your board was not okay with that. I said, how do you know?
Her board, you mean your board?
The board of Hawaii Kai.
The neighborhood board,
yeah.
This is Patty saying the neighborhood board.
And I went to the board and they didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But prior to that, now that Patty's no longer with us, we're working with another city official.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The city official said, okay, you have a neighborhood board meeting on this specific date. You go, you sell yourself to, the event again.
Mm-hmm.
If you get their approval, we'll move on to the next step.
Right.
So I say, great.
Mm-hmm.
The day before, actually, I think it was sometime during the weekend, she had fired an email out to Mr. Knudsen, who's head of the neighborhood board in Hawaii Kai,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
stating directly to him, stating that I am so and so, I am a city official.
Okay.
I am not supporting this event because of all these issues.
Right.
And then she made that clear. And she put in her advisors too. I am not agreeing to so-and-so Sandy Agassi and all these people who are trying to help us get this event going.
Right.
So basically, Mr. Knudsen got this and he sent the emails to all the board members,
mm-hmm.
saying that... What's going on with these guys? These guys, like,
So it puts you in a bad light.
Yeah, basically they say, you know what, these guys don't know what they're doing. You know, let's move on.
But again, I want to emphasize, or I want you to tell us clearly and the listeners, had you received any of this communication?
No.
Okay, so she is simply doing this. But you are supposed to work, and it's a sanctioned city project, correct?
Correct.
You've received the grant. Why do you think she didn't... notify you of all of these changes in her objections? Instead, she wrote Knudsen. What gives?
I have a response for that. Her timing was impeccable when she wrote that letter. Leading up to
Peter
Carlisle, but
okay.
He got into a mayorship, of course.
Okay.
She wrote the letter, I believe it was September 20th or so, and he was elected on the 18th. It was that weekend.
18th of?
Of September.
Okay.
And so... basically, you can see that as soon as he was elected, she put herself in the position where she knew, before he was even sworn in, she was basically all of a sudden taking over all the projects. And we were getting emails left and right from the city, from the people that were handling it,
mm-hmm.
saying that she's now in a director position, you need to work back with her.
Mm-hmm.
So they were basically handing us back to the lion, and she was already not supporting the project, but then we had to go back to her. And if you look at that date, it was funny because it was Monday, the weekend after Peter was elected, so she already felt like she had the position, authority to do that, but she never communicated with Stephen or myself, who are handling the event, to at least give us, courtesy to say, hey, what's going on now?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's back in my position. Okay, tell me what's going on with the event,
Mm-hmm.
And so that was just really unfortunate.
So she was communicating to others that she was supporting Peter.
Right.
As in the election, most of you probably don't know that, but then she had indicated that if he wins, she would become the director.
Yes.
Opposed to just, quote, special events coordinator.
She said that to all of us.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to say that I confirm that she did share with me that should Peter Carlisle get into office, that she would be the director and all special events under the city will be under her.
Mm-hmm. So then you have this election, it comes about then. But now that we're talking about politics, how it introduced, when you met her originally, there was an exchange. She told you about Mr. Hanneman. You said that she had mentioned something about the voting. Are you going to vote for Hanneman? What was that exchange?
Oh, it was further down the road where we set up a little meeting, like we try to do like every 2 weeks. And
right.
When I got to the meeting, it was during campaign time. It was really heated and all that. You know, the first thing that came out of her mouth when we sat was, "Who are you voting for?"
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, "Well, I haven't decided yet." And then she said, "You know, in a roundabout way, well, you know, Carlisle's going to make me head of this and that way I can support nonprofits like you and mm-hmm. stuff like that." So, you know, sort of like. Mm-hmm. Campaigning or, you know, talking to me that I should go with her, I mean, with Peter and all. And I just listened.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't think nothing of it. And
what about Hanneman? You had mentioned that she had mentioned about Hanneman, that if he won or that she was supporting him, were you going to...
No, Hanneman was already running for governor. Yeah, so...
Okay. Okay. Anyway... So she tells you she's going to get involved.
Right.
Okay. And then she changed the date. She is competing with you folk on grants. The same grants for her Wamanala Construction Coalition.
Correct.
Okay. So then what happens? Now, Michelle, when you dealt with her on your issues, and there's so much to talk about. Basically, the investigators for the Ethics Commission said that they found her, that one of the complaints I had filed, that she was improperly using her emails, and they found that that was true, but they didn't send a letter saying what punishment they were doing. Then they say that some of it wasn't in their purview, but they didn't say we're referring this to other investigators of the city prosecutor's office or the attorney general. And so we're still waiting. And as I said earlier, I was personally assured that this was going to be taken care of and that they were going to issue the appropriate punishment, and because these were some egregious activities on her part. Yet they moved her out of the front room and moved her to the back room, and she's still doing some of this coordination. Is that correct?
Yes.
So, Michelle, one of the things that she had also offered in the investigation of the ethics was that regarding her living there at the Konishki Foundation house, she said that she had written a check on her nonprofit organization's check, a checking account, Wamanala Construction Coalition, and it was for rent. Can you set the record straight on that? The commission said that something to the effect, and paraphrasing, that she indicated that she wasn't living there. She was just renting the room for conferences.
That's true. Lori, who was the one that was handling the investigation, she then questioned me, and she asked me that during that time that Patty said that she wasn't renting,
mm-hmm.
that basically that check that she gave was to do an event for her nonprofit, mm-hmm. like a retreat at the Konishki home.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she did. So I asked Lori, I said, well, when was that date, you know,
mm-hmm.
and can you tell me who was there?
Mm-hmm.
Because that never occurred. That was never discussed.
Mm-hmm. So, but she did, in fact, was she renting and living there at the Konishki house?
Definitely. And if you look at this email, it says, "Aloha, sis. Did you receive my email text this morning? How are you? Did you get to speak to Konishki this morning or last? I hope that I do not sound so pushy, but I really need to know, as I am at home today packing. My boyfriend will not be living here with me, but will be visiting. I would... and would like to help you around the house. This is temporarily. I just need to stay there June, July, August, and hopefully September I should get my house done and ready. So please let me know so arrangements can be done.
Mm-hmm. Now, you submitted that information to the Ethics Commission, correct? And yet, she still has a job and actually flying high and mighty and working. And the original complaint was that she was, that I filed, that she was getting money from the benefits package at Wai'anae, the West Coast benefit package at Leeward Coast. And then I find out she's now getting, also getting a grant, and she's gotten it for several years. I don't know the amount, because when I called the original time, the city, oh, well, we're going to take care of this, so don't worry, I assure you. So they didn't send me any documents.
$10,000.
It's $10,000?
$10,000. My Manala Construction Coalition, she's the vice president and secretary, I believe it is. So.
Carlisle, and we'll get back to you, Michelle. Why are we talking about that? It's not just the grant that you get. It's, do they make any money?
The nonprofit?
The nonprofit. Let's say, or what is it potentially, can they make any money on these events, or is it just a grant?
Okay, well, let me just break it down for the audience so that they understand. Mm-hmm. The difference, there's two options that Patty gives to nonprofits, and she kind of selects who gets that option. Mm-hmm. You can either get a Sunset on the Beach event, which is the big movie screen with movies, games, rides, whatnot, two-day event on a weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you can do a carnival, which is normally 3 days. And when you do a Sunset on the Beach event, the nonprofit themselves have to figure out how to raise between $30,000 and $40,000 to pay for, right, all your entertainment, your tents, your food, and basically it's a huge expense.
Mm-hmm.
But if you work with E.K. Fernandez, seriously, E.K. Fernandez is wonderful to work with. They'll come in and they'll take over most of the costs,
right,
for an event. You still have a cost, but it's probably cut in about a third.
Mm-hmm.
And then they donate part of the proceeds, right, Michelle, of what they make on the event towards that nonprofit. So if you work with a carnival as a nonprofit, you have a better chance of making money. So when she offered the opportunity and changed for Steven, he was going to do a Sunset on the Beach event.
Mm-hmm.
But when she offered him the opportunity to at least try to make some money on this thing for their nonprofit,
mm-hmm,
of course he's going to jump at it because it just made sense.
Right.
So when she ripped it out from under him, after she came to him and said, this is my idea, I want you guys to do this, and then came back and said, no, you're not going to do it, I have no idea why,
mm-hmm,
it was heartbreaking. And then when they're saying, figure out what you're going to do, you guys have 7 weeks, you know, from
mm-hmm
that time, and you're trying, I mean, how can you raise $30,000 some plus in 7 weeks and change your entire event, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was pretty sickening. But, I mean, overall, I've worked with Patty for years, so I know the process. I met Michelle and Steven both through working with Patty. I didn't work for the city. I was independently contracted by the different nonprofits.
So now let's take the Wai'anae Construction Coalition, who is a recipient of these grants.
They are.
And so they get the $10,000,
yes,
as you say, and she stands to make more money from that event, correct?
Right. So basically she gets a grant. So now the best, I mean, she set herself up for an amazing reward because she not only gets the grant from the city now,
mm-hmm,
she has E.K. Fernandez,
mm-hmm,
that comes in and is assisting her with the cost, mm-hmm, for the event.
Right.
And then she also gets a donation from EK at the end of the event.
And that could be from what?
It could be between $5,000 and $10,000, something like that.
So that
five. But she's mentioned $10,000.
So
yeah.
That $5,000 or $10,000 plus the $10,000 for the grant.
But majority of the cost is being taken care of by EK, not her.
But now, so the listeners, they probably think we're being manini here and picky. But what? First of all, she's a special events coordinator for the city.
Right.
How is it that we could accept to any degree the fact that she's able to, one, get a grant for her own nonprofit organization, then sit in the city office,
right,
and coordinate these activities to Finn and Mr. Carlisle and Mr. Hanneman, none of them saw it because they allowed it to occur.
Right.
So that is what I'm trying to convey to the public, the listeners out there, that as this is a lot of talk, but the real issue is that there's some serious ethics issues here. Just the mere appearance, we've exceeded that and we've gone beyond that.
I actually wanted to stop working with Patty when I started to see, I've known her for years, but when I started to see what she was doing to Steven, and I was only CC'd on emails, and I've never, in the years I've worked with her, seen someone speak to a nonprofit that way, and I felt so bad because I introduced him to Patty in this entire process, so I didn't want to leave him out to dry, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But because of what happened with Steven and everything else, the wool was pulled up over my eyes. I could actually see what this woman was doing, and it was unfortunate for especially his event, and then also Michelle's event too, that I also assisted her with. It just wasn't, overall, there's been many, many instances that Patty has not done her job.
Mm-hmm.
And then the double dipping aspect of it, I've seen it. She works as a city official. She also is getting a grant for her nonprofit, her own nonprofit.
Two types of grants.
Right. Yeah. And, none of us have that opportunity. I'm not understanding why she has that opportunity.
And then sits in a city office and
right.
coordinate and does all of her business, but then she doesn't have the time to be at your meetings and help you coordinate, but that is her official title.
That is her official title.
And then on the CBAC grant, she sits on the committee that selects and determines the allocation of where the monies go to the nonprofit.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about that. We're coming down to the end of the first hour, and I'm hoping that the idea, I want the listeners to know that when we say there's corruption, when we say there are people taking advantage of the system, how so? How do they do it? And so if the listeners would bear with us, it's a lot of talk, a lot of chatter, and if Ms. Tarui is out there, welcome her calling, and she can come on. I'll give her the same amount of time and would love to have her. And I'm sure the people here, Stephen and Michelle and Carlisle, will be back here, willing to come back, and their statements, as you see, are public. And I just think hopefully you go away listening to see how is it that conflict can arise, how is it that an individual can receive two grants, and then while others do receive a grant, and in fact, Stephen has been asked to return the money.
Yes.
Correct.
Now, you must feel like the fish out of water and the floundering.
With a sun lamp on me at the same
time. Yeah, because you not only have to deal with the paying back of the money, and the undoings was attributed to some of her activities.
Correct.
And now you got to face all of those people that trusted you.
Correct.
How does it feel?
Terrible.
Well, we're going to give you a chance to clear your good name, or and in the second hour, and you'll be here with us. And again, Michelle, we got more. We weren't being rude and icing Michelle out. We're going to talk specifically about hers because there's a lot to be talked about. And folks, I can't even be honest with you. I don't have enough time in three shows to tell you the things that have revealed themselves in this and the amount of politics. And one must ask. Why do they tolerate Ms. Tarui in that position? Well, politicians benefit because if she can set up a little fundraiser or a little gathering at a house with 300 or 400 people coming together, guess what? In this city, you can get an office by merely 100 votes more than the other fellow. So it's important. And besides, it's our tax dollars. So we don't owe them an explanation. They owe us an explanation. But we'll be right back, and I'll tell you there's a lot to be talked about here. So we'll see you shortly.
Face no more. need your war machines. I don't need your ghetto scenes. Gonna love you if the stars. I got someone up his eyes. Now
good morning again. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show, my second half. And again, I have Mr. Stephen Pratt and Miss Michelle Liao and Miss Carlisle Crowley. And we're talking about government waste, fraud, and abuse, and all of that involving grants and activities with the special events coordinator, namely Miss Patty Turia. And one of the things I kind of confused, I'll go back and correct, or not, clarify, I should say. I indicated that Ms. Turia had asked Stephen about, it was a political question, who he was voting for. Stephen, can you clarify when you met her, or at on occasion, what was that exchange?
Oh, the exchange was, it wasn't involved with the movie at all. It was directed to Peter Carlisle in regards to who I'm voting for.
Mm-hmm. What was it? I mean, let the listeners know. How did it transpire?
Well, it transpired before we even started our meeting. We sat down, and she just across the table said, who are you voting for? I said, I haven't made my decision yet.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of laid it out saying that, if Peter gets elected, you know, I'll be sitting in a good seat where I can be more productive for, you know, the organization and all that.
And did she suggest you vote for Peter?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay. So, I mean, even if she didn't, the mere fact that she's a special events coordinator, it's none of her business or bees as to who you're voting for.
Correct.
I mean, imagine, folks, you sitting with a special events coordinator and you're waiting for a grant and you're thinking you're going to get the grant and the support of the city, and you're asked by a city employee, the special events coordinator, who you plan on voting for. I don't think that's appropriate, regardless of what transpired after the fact or who she named. And that was the point. I want to, and these are just. I've had other situations where people convey to me, but some of them are just absolutely, deathly afraid to even speak out because of the retaliation. And speaking of retaliation, Michelle, while we're talking about this and the politics, tell us about some of the acts of retaliation that you perceive as retaliation from these meetings or exchange with Ms. Teruya.
Okay, well, since I've shared with the Ethics Committee and also I submitted that check of the Waimanala Coalition meeting, the first I got a call from her boyfriend, mm-hmm. Emmanuel Silva, who was asking me, what's going on? Why are you and Carlisle doing this? Mm-hmm. And I had shared with him on the telephone that it has nothing to do mm-hmm. with Patty. It has to do with the event, and we are supporting the Shaka Kids event mm-hmm. in Hawaii Kai. Mm-hmm. That's the first retaliation of me getting a call. Mm-hmm. Second is I get a call from a business owner in Waianae who then tells me that, hey, by the way, Patty had called me, and she's like, she basically told me that, you know what, with Michelle talking like that, if anything happens, everybody's going to go down. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to go down, Konishiki's going to go down, Konishiki Kids Foundation is going to go down, everybody's going to go down. Mm-hmm. Second. The third, she also is the chair for the neighborhood board in Nanakuli. Mm-hmm. This business owner gets a call from Kimo Kili'i, which is part of the neighborhood board, who right. tells this business owner that, you know what, can I have Kunishiki's number? I want Kunishiki's number because I need to tell him to tell that girl to be quiet. Mm-hmm. Because if she don't be quiet, everybody's going to go down. You're going to go down. Konishiki's going to go down. You know, Konishiki Kids Foundation going to go down. Everybody going
to
go down.
And this business guy is calling to asking that girl is you.
Yes, yeah. The girl is me.
Okay.
Yeah, referring to me. And then I get a letter from Don Picaro.
Former deputy city prosecutor.
Yeah.
Who was running for city prosecutor.
Yes, and Patty was helping him with his mm-hmm. campaign. I don't know in what step, but there was an event, I think it's the Rainbow, there was an event in Waianae mm-hmm. where she had Peter and also Don Picaro passing out their pamphlets,
you know, campaigning
on that event, mm-hmm. okay? But anyway, I get a letter from Don Picaro's office saying, Dear Ms. Liao, I want to thank you again for supporting me in my run for public office. Mm-hmm. I am glad to have the opportunity to touch base with you again, except perhaps for the fact of the matter involves our client. We have been retained by Patty Kahanamoku Teruya regarding matters brought to the attention of media and a check that you gave the media. As counsel for Ms. Teruya, we must caution you against making statements that are false, disparaging, or derogatory regarding Ms. Teruya's involvement with your foundation. Sending emails to Ms. Teruya's supervisors and other members of City Council Honu may cast an unwelcome and unwarranted dispersions on Ms. Teruya's character, reflecting negative on her ability to advance within the city. Such comments by you border defamation and will be vigorously pursued by our client if this continues.
Mm-hmm.
So I got this email, and then what I did was I did call the Ethics Committee. I faxed this to the Ethics Committee,
mm-hmm.
and also Laurie had shared with me that, Michelle, you got to understand that she's actually looking for a promotion. I don't know, but so that these things are happening.
Good morning, caller. Comment or question, real quick.
Hey, just listen to your program. You keep referring to this person, Peter. Who is that?
Peter Carlisle.
Oh, the mayor. Oh.
Yes.
You keep saying Peter, Peter. I was wondering who you're referring to. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Well, yeah, Peter Carlisle, the then candidate, now mayor, and who should be punishing or instead of punishing, apparently. Now, I don't know. They may have punished her, but the mere fact is she's still sitting in that capacity and still received grants. I had anticipated that they look at this and think it just does not look right. So, therefore, you can't receive these grants. You can't, because if you receive the grant and you're the special events coordinator, when will you be planning the events?
Right.
Right? And Carlisle, right quick, real quick in a nutshell, to plan these events, what does it involve? Getting bands and all of that, real quick.
Right. Give us. I mean, it's a full-on process. So
right.
You're out there, I mean, on my side, what I was doing with Stephen was I was out there getting sponsors for the events. So creating
okay.
the media packaging, you do the press releases where you go out and get the entertainment. You
mm-hmm.
work with the, depending on what you're doing, either it's a movie or a carnival, then you coordinate, you know, set up start times, end times. You get an entire staff
right.
of workers to assist with, you know, the entire
you
property.
You have vendors?
Vendors. You go out and get booths, crafts and food
mm-hmm.
vendors.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think the list could go on and on,
yeah.
but it's
Six
months at least.
Yeah, it involves a lot, right, on the part of this. So if she is the coordinator for the city administering other people's programs and coordinating, when does she have time to do her own organization? And it surely invites the chance or the opportunity for conflict of interest, because at what point does she say, well, and in fact, they mentioned that in the letter. Well, she was as a neighborhood board, as a city employee, but as a coordinator, she's a city employee, but she gets to work on her Wymanaw Construction Coalition because it received a grant.
Right.
So by just the mere nature of things, she's allowed to sit and work and benefit her own personal organization.
Right.
But not giving you any time.
Correct.
So there was a question I was going to ask you, but we'll get back to it, Stephen. So I received a call from Don Picaro. He was a candidate and former deputy prosecutor. And I, folks, I got to tell you, and I talked about this earlier on the show, in one of the earlier shows, that it's wrong. And when you have this kind of behavior, you can't sit in the city office and work and make money for your nonprofit organization, and the mayor won't speak up. And at least if they didn't fire her, they should have removed her from that job completely, or taken away her grants or something. But instead, she gets to operate behind the scene and quietly. So, Michelle, back to your situation now. With Mr. Ruya, I want to convey and share with the listeners her relationship. They're probably sitting down going, how is it that she can get away? And the standard statement is going to be, she must have something on them. Well, she's already threatened that if she goes down, quote, if she goes down, then she's going to take all of them down. Now, down, down, down. I don't know what that means, but generally when I see it in the movies, someone is going to get to talking and people are going to lose their jobs and people are going to go to jail. They're going to be outed for the wrongdoings. That's the standard, taking them down. So, Michelle, share with us. This is a unique occasion or opportunity. You went to Big Island with Ms. Teruya. So this was, you guys were arch enemies. Give us a little rundown of what transpired and Mr. Carlisle, his involvement, or how you observed firsthand what transpired with her and calling Mr. Carlisle.
Okay, well, first of all, I want you to know that she came to me asking me that she got into an argument with her daughter-in-law,
mm-hmm.
and because of that, she needed housing. And so she came crying to me on June 2nd, saying okay. that, you know what, I don't have a place to stay. If I leave my home on Mohihi Street, my grandchildren will be out. Can you please, you know, help me?
Mm-hmm.
So the good nature of what we're trying to do is we decided to help her.
Right.
So that weekend that she came in, we allowed her to stay, you know, mm-hmm. at the home and stuff like that. Then while that happened, her mother had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
When her mother passed away, she had asked me, and she was telling everybody that we were the best of friends,
yes.
you know, but at the same time, I just got to know this lady, you know,
mm-hmm.
but that's what she
this
was.
This lady, Patty.
Patty.
Okay.
This lady, Patty, she was telling everybody we were best friends, we were all that. Then she asked me that I would, if I could go with her. When I went to, what you call, she was very worried. The mother had passed away. She had a will, and she got worried because I guess her sisters was going to the mother's house to take stuff. She was concerned about that.
That's what she expected.
Yes, and she was worried about whether her will was legal and justified. And so what she did was she picked the phone and she called Carlisle.
And
Peter Carlisle.
So you were in Big Island at the time?
I was in Big Island with her. With her.
Standing right next to her?
Right next to her.
And then what happened? She called Peter Carlisle on her
cell phone. She called Peter Carlisle and, you know, in distress,
mm-hmm.
telling him the situation
mm-hmm.
and stuff. And he had said, "Don't worry, Patty, I'll try and see." And then there was a judge somewhere in Kona. I don't know, was a judge somewhere in Kona, and he was trying to find out. But the fact remains is, I don't know what was transpired. The fact that she's able to pick up the phone and talk to him is amazing.
For her personal.
Now, whatever transpired of that, I don't know.
Sure.
But I do know that she was calling him
uh-huh.
because she needed help and she was in distress regarding this will.
In her personal life. And did he call her back?
She did. He did. He called her back.
So Peter called, after she called asking for help, intervene on her behalf, he then somehow later, about, what, 20 minutes later,
yeah.
he called back and say everything. You don't know what was said. But
I don't know what was said, but something to do with a judge there and something to do with the will.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing was, wow, you know, she has that type of access.
Was he mayor then?
He wasn't mayor.
Mm-hmm. So, but he was a candidate and running as
he was, yes.
mayor, running for mayor.
Yes.
So how do we get around and how do you openly compete when the person that is competing with you actually is a coordinator who selects the bids, selects the organization, and then in turn administers and coaches and counsels people like Stephen, people like you. Now, Stephen, to go further, you had a conversation with her, you shared with me, regarding tents and her investment, her part ownership or in the tent business. Can give a clear explanation, if you would. What transpired there?
Well, early on, my relationship with Patty, you know, we would meet every often, trying to coordinate
this is in the early stages because
early
she didn't,
stages,
didn't
right.
communicate with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, okay. And then she had mentioned, I was called to the office, me and my partner, and she had indicated that she keeps talking about a certain individual who is a vendor who takes care of tents.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and basically, when you do an event, you rent the tents out to run the event.
Right.
She had indicated that she was partnership with these
tent vendors.
Yeah.
And so she would get, obviously,
she would get a percentage. Yeah. She didn't indicate the percentage, but she said she was a mm-hmm. partner with him.
Right. So, if that's true, and I don't have any documents here to show that, but just the mere fact that she's willing to share that openly, I mean, that's rather brazen and bold. I can't bring myself to claiming ownership to anything that I don't own.
Well, interestingly enough, my event,
mm-hmm.
Henry was the person that did the provided my tents and stuff, and she chose him.
She chose him?
Yeah. I have the email. Can you have this order delivered on Friday morning by 10? And she tells him exactly what's needed, and then he bills me for it.
Right. So she's, and also vendors, there's a young lady that sold, had a booth, I guess, sold things there, and I'm told she ended up requiring Patty as a condition to participate in the Wymanala Construction Coalition fundraiser.
The county fair, the country fair.
The country fair. Amber here is Lehulani Hill. She,
good morning.
Good morning. Briefly tell us, you You were asked or told by, ordered by Patty to, for you to participate in a booth there at Waimanalo. You were required to buy 30 lays and some high quality. Can you real quickly?
Well, it wasn't really required, but it was an exchange sponsor. She would give me the booth free if I would bring sponsor 30 lays.
30 lays. And who would these lays go to?
It would be for the dignitaries and the special events.
And these dignitaries would be politicians?
Politicians, and also the events of the head of the event, the nonprofit.
So you bought the 30 lays.
I did.
As a condition of her waiving your fee for the booth.
Yes.
And then you had to feed the policeman, or what?
No, no. Well, originally the booth that I had, the cost is $500.
Okay.
So we had, it was an agreement, oh, just come in, we'll sponsor you in, give you two, bring the 30 lays. And I says, oh, is that nice? She says, well, you can put a donation in an envelope. And then, of course, all the booths are required to accept the event's volunteers.
Right.
So they were to feed the volunteers.
So you had to feed the volunteers and the police.
Yes, and we were to be reimbursed $5 each.
Okay.
So the accumulations would be like 30, or for my booth, it was about 21 to 30, which I never was reimbursed for. But I scratched it quite, subtracting it from the 500. And then there was a difference of about 200 that was probably the donation that I didn't want to offend her or get her upset. So I placed it into an envelope in cash.
Right.
And then I took it down to, I got the bus down to Kapolei. And she was there at the desk in front of Mufi's office. And she was in charge of the complaints that was coming in.
That's a whole different subject. But she, so you put the $200
in the envelope
and put it on her desk as part of that, as she had suggested, the donation to her organization.
She said donation to the organization, the Waianae Coalition. And it wasn't to her.
Well, that's her organization, the Waianae Construction Coalition.
Yeah.
Okay. So, anyway, that's what happened.
That's what happened, and I'm not sure. She didn't specify the amount, but she specified the donation in the envelope.
Okay.
But knowing how Patty works, which is that you have to, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. I try to even out the 500 fee.
All right. Now, did you get a receipt for your $200 ever as a donation to the nonprofit?
No, she didn't even open the envelope because a personal call came in from her, her boyfriend.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'm again, we're not trying to maim or speak ill of her. I want the public to see that this is a simple process. It's a special events coordinator. That's all it is.
It is.
How does all the politics come in? How at your event, Michelle, what happened? You were told that, who came to speak at your event?
Well, with my event on Friday, there, as Patty has shared, there's an opening, like a grand opening where we thank people. And so, and she is the one that takes control of it. I would hope that it was the nonprofit that makes the decision of it. But it's her. She creates all the scripts with the stage manager on this. However, the thank yous, you know, I can see thanking the chair, people that supported me, and the people that were helping me. But Peter Carlisle was on the platform, too. He didn't do anything for my event. I don't know why he was on the platform. I can see Mufi being it because he was,
the mayor.
Yeah, because he was the mayor. You know, but Mufi wasn't there. Instead, David Tenoy was there in his place because he was out. But my thing was, I don't know why Peter Carlisle was on that platform and what was his purpose of being there. Because I had no reason to thank him.
Right.
He didn't do anything for my special events.
But he
but it was her call, yeah.
And, she's, and she was, and people must know that she was campaigning for Peter Carlisle.
Exactly.
And so what I'm trying to convey is I'm surmising or summarizing here that based on all of these events that I'm informed of now, she would bring Carlisle to them or find her. She would have some dealings with them, and then he would be there, not openly campaigning, but you and I know. I mean, why didn't she reach out to others? And what about the religious there? You said that there would be a kahu, but she would dictate or require you to use his...
Yeah, so regarding our event, she chose her minister. She said that, you know, you would have prayer at this. And then what she did was she chose her minister, which is from Word of Life. So I didn't get to choose. She determined who was going to be the one to say the prayer opening it up. Right, Carlisle?
Yes.
So... we were kind of upset, and Konishki was kind of upset, because it's like, you know, we have our resources, you know, and what we realized that day, we thought that the city was the one that was sponsoring this, mm-hmm. but what we realized, it was all EK. Mm-hmm. The city, all they did was they helped us, they gave us the bulletins and the programs, mm-hmm. and then they also coordinated the HBD to help us, mm-hmm. and the OED. However, I can see the OED because they're just volunteering, so right. they're true volunteers. The HBD, they're getting paid for being there, mm-hmm. and I have to pay for their meals, mm-hmm. you know?
They're getting special duty.
Yeah, they're getting special duty, and on top of that, I have to pay for it. The foundation is required to pay for all the volunteers, mm-hmm. and I don't mind paying for true volunteers, but not people that are getting paid on the clock.
Now, and Carlisle, I'll go to you in a minute. Hopefully the listeners will wait, accepting this as an insight to what's going on. Shaka Kids will benefit children in the community, which as a benefit of that, a product of your programs, less drugs, hopefully, less game, idle minds and all of that. They'll have something to do. Some of them are fatherless or motherless or what have you. So by ripping you off or not serving you, that not forget you. You're a big man. You and I can handle this. We, you know, we can go get a job at Zippy's or whatever. But these children, they're the one who, and in the community. So she's striking at the fabric of the community. Konishka's kids, why not? So when you're faced with this dilemma of this is what it's about, it's not about poking at her and making... I'm trying to convey to the listeners that when we take such a trusted position and then insert someone like that, and then the real crime, in my opinion, is the politicians and the administrators in government and the city government who stood there, watched it, knowing they'll benefit in a roundabout way. Now, it's not bank robbery. It's robbing the people of these processes. And this program, by the way, is to enhance the Hawaiian communities and the Hawaiian culture and what have you, right?
Correct.
And yet, you have an entity, an individual sitting here playing shortstop,
mm-hmm.
the Ozzie Smith. You know, Ozzie Smith was a shortstop of baseball with the St. Louis Cardinals, but very good. Here, she's able to catch anything. Taxpayers' money, not only just taxpayers' money, but it attacks the fabric of good things in city government. Carlisle, go ahead. I saw you writing some notes there. You were going to also read an email that you...
Right. No, I think overall I just wanted to also state for Shaka Kids' mm-hmm. situation that it wasn't just about putting on an event. When you think about what it takes to put on an event,
right.
It was an entire year of putting this together, from mm-hmm. trying very hard to get the grant to starting to work with Patty, and then countless emails. I mean, you're going out there months and months trying to get sponsors, putting together your poster, you know, to get funding for this. Mm-hmm. And Patty was just pulling the plug here and there with this nonprofit. I never seen it before. She had said when she says something's going to happen, it happens. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, there was no venue in Hawaii Kai to do a carnival. I don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
How could we not have a carnival in Hawaii Kai? So I worked with Stephen all the way through this.
I got a caller here, probably a question, a comment for you guys.
Okay.
Hello, caller.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Aloha.
Aloha.
I can't believe what I'm hearing, but, you know, that's a track record of Hawaii anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as people are gullible of thinking they're going to get something for nothing, they're going to be victims.
Well, apparently.
Especially in the political arena.
Filippo, I think you're right on this one, but they're not going very good people. But what the good that's going to come out of this, Filippo, is this. You know, there's this old saying that here in the islands, nobody care and nobody speak out. They're all brother, brother.
Yeah,
well,
I'm
if I had a gong, I'd ring it. If I could convey to you how good I feel, this is speaking strictly to that. You got four people here, and they're speaking out. So,
well, you
all
know,
those
I'm not trying to criticize them, and I honor them for coming forward.
Right.
Okay, because most people will lick their wounds and go someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why these people are able to exist, when I say these people, I mean these political factions.
Right.
Is because most people turn their backs and say, okay, I catch you next time or something.
Right.
And we should honor these four people.
Well, I love them. Because
I'm glad that you brought them on.
Thank you.
Okay.
Aloha. Aloha. Good morning, caller. Another comment or question? Hello? Okay, go ahead, Carla.
So, my point is that it was an entire arduous year of how you should... Normally, doing an event itself is already hard. But to have battles with Patty to even just try and get this off the ground just made it harder. It's like, you know, trying to walk and your hand, you know, your legs are tied. So when Patty didn't show up for the final meeting after much postponement,
mm-hmm.
we decided to go to the city above her and ask where her supervisor was because we weren't getting, nothing was happening. We were 7 weeks from the event.
Mm-hmm.
And the police didn't know about it. The parks didn't know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And we were trying to get this all coordinated. And to even add a dagger to it for on her side, I can't assume that she calculated this, but it seemed that way. When we sat in that meeting, DEM, Department of Emergency Management, which also they handle all the parking, you know, making sure that, you know, mm-hmm. safety-wise, every other event that I've worked with her, they were always available. But that particular event, when we're sitting in that meeting, they said, oh, we don't have... In Waikai, our probably most lucrative area on the island, they don't have DEM for us to help us with that event.
Right.
That's, her assistant, then 7 weeks out, is telling us that they don't have civil defense to help us with the event. When couldn't they have told us this before so we could have planned that?
Right.
Also, the letter that was written, I have it here.
No, this was
from Ms. Teruya.
Okay. Regarding?
Regarding... This was regarding the our event, Shot the Kids, that
okay.
I was assisting Stephen
okay.
with. And she wrote this on the 20th.
And who did she write it to?
She wrote this to Greg Knudsen.
Greg
Knudsen, excuse me. He's the chairperson on the Waikai Neighborhood Board. And just give me a minute. Can I just read the whole thing? Okay. She says, aloha, everyone. Hope you all had a great election weekend. Now she's referring to the Waikai Neighborhood Board.
Mm-hmm.
I've received an email regarding the Waikai event and understand the OED is planning to move forward with this event. What I do not understand is that none of you have updated me regarding this event at Sandy Beach for October 15th, 16th, and 17th. So she's already putting them
mm-hmm.
in a negative, basically saying, why haven't you talk to me about this,
right.
you know, to this neighborhood board. Ms. Crowley, myself, which is me, is requesting from Ms. Sagisi to set up a planning meeting with the Shaka Foundation organizers and city officials for Wednesday at Cocoa Head District Park. This is the meeting that she did not attend,
right.
by the way. So from my understanding, Ms. Chung, Mika, and Mayor's office are moving ahead on the event. There seems to be a lot of public safety issues regarding the location of the event, parking, and other concerns that you are overlooking. So she's already... She's not helping the situation here. She puts, some of the problems are traffic concerns, additional HPD officers on duty. Will the organizers be able to pay it? She's putting question mark. How does she know the financial situation? She hasn't even been working on the project. Mm-hmm. Safety, field lights, barriers for no parking signs along Clement Highway, additional parking. She goes on and on. She says, besides some that I have listed regarding this location, I feel that these organizers may not be able to pull this event off in such a short time. Do they have their budget in place? Is the mayor's office, OED, providing more funds to this event? Even with the small scale down carnival, the nightmare that this location will be impacted. I mean, basically doing it at Sandy Beach, which she knew it was at Sandy Beach.
She suggested it.
Right. I recommend that if this event moves forward, that the OED staff work with the organization and group in implementing this event and work on the event. I and Ms. Almont, which is her assistant, prefer not to interfere with this event since Ms. Crowley and Mr. Steve Pratt had earlier strong statements of me and my position here at the city. I also understand that Ms. Crowley and Mr. Pratt made statements that they will file a lawsuit of promises coming from the city or me, My notes will or should have shown you that all my emails to Mr. Pratt, nothing like this was promised to him or his organization. First of all, the bottom line, if they do not have a plan or fulfill with their budget, the city has every right to jump in and advise them to either downsize or return the $4,000 from the city's grant. I'm surprised that this does not go down to our corporation council. Anyway, I would like to advise you that the city should not combine this event at Sandy Beach with their surf meet. The liability for the city and county will be extremely dangerous. We have never done or associate ourselves in any surf beach with our family events. She knew that we were doing a surf competition from the get-go.
Right.
So why is she bringing
that?
She suggested that too. We had the ample insurances.
Right.
So she was creating fear. So we went to the Huaikai Neighborhood Board after this email was sent, and they basically just shut us down. They had, I mean, obviously.
Because you had, but you hadn't received the letter when you went to that meeting.
We didn't. Did we know about it? No, we had just. I think we just found out about it, right?
Yeah.
Just found out about it.
But again, I want to emphasize, as you represented, she did not communicate any of this to you?
No, she went directly to the Huaikai Neighborhood Board.
But she sent this letter to the Neighborhood Board, but yet failed to... Did she send you a copy of the letter?
Nothing, no.
Did she tell you that she was going to send a letter to the...
No.
No.
So you're out still working, and this letter is out there amongst your work.
Correct.
You must feel very special. I think we're giving her the new title of City Saboteur.
Right. And at the end of all of this, with every event that, I mean, I've worked on 9 events with her, and so that's over the last 3 years. In the end, I couldn't stand it, basically. I was tired of working with somebody. The point of these community events is to reach out to people. And I had countless conversations and emails back and forth that year, this past last year, of when I was tired of working for somebody that it was about her. These events became about her, not about the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what I was seeing. And so I decided that I didn't want to work with her anymore. And in the end, with the assistance of Michelle and Steven and a lot of other support, people have asked me to come forward because I had all the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And I myself, right before elections, the timing on all this happened in
mm-hmm.
August.
Mm-hmm.
It was about a month before elections. I wrote a letter to Kirk Caldwell, who was the acting mayor at the time, and I pleaded with him to look at this situation. Please investigate this. But I realized in his position that he was getting ready for a campaign.
Right.
And nothing was done. Nothing was done.
Mm-hmm.
Then when Peter got into office, you know, I think it's just really unfortunate because I supported him all the way through. And it was heart-wrenching for me to see. I came to him specifically. I emailed him, Facebooked. I mean, I did everything.
You emailed
personally
Peter Carlisle. You Facebooked him.
Everything.
On these complaints.
An entire list, yeah.
You had a long letter and a written complaint that you filed with Peter Carlisle.
Yes.
What did he ever do with it?
Nothing. I've not, to this day, received an email back from him, any letter, nothing. Nothing. I remember watching after he got elected, he was on the news, and he, on KITV, he said, they said, what are you going to do, you know, with your new mayorship? And he said, I want to make sure that I appoint the right people mm-hmm. for the position. And it got me so deep because I knew she was ready.
Mm-hmm.
She already was telling all of us she's going to be appointed. And that did indeed happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote him a letter, and I had every single thing that she did, very specific,
mm-hmm.
with all the different nonprofits stated. I had evidence attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about the double dipping, the Wymanala, you know, how she's getting paid as a city official, mm-hmm. but she's also coordinating this event, receiving grant monies. I went through how she basically destroyed and thwarted, halted any chance he had, Stephen, to have an event. Hurt Shaka Kids Foundation. I personally know that Patty lived at that house at Shaka, onto Konishki Kids.
How do you know she personally lived at Konishki?
Because she invited me to come over, mm-hmm. stating that she was going to be living at the Konishki Kids Foundation. She's the one that told me she was like best friends with Michelle. And
correction, it's not the Konishki Kids Foundation. It's Konishki's home.
It's his home. It's not the foundation home. Excuse me.
No, that's no problem.
But, yeah, I personally went there to hang out with Patty and her grandson and whatnot, because we were fine, you know, it was fine. But for her to say that she wasn't living there, she was living there. She mm-hmm. told me to come over because she wanted to show me the estate that she was going to live on.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, we didn't give her the okay that she was going to live there. I had told her that I had to speak to the owner, which is Konishki, whether she would be there.
Mm-hmm.
But Carlisle and Amber said that they knew that she had told them prior that she was living there.
So, Amber Lehulani, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I sound like the guy who just got off the Greyhound bus. Lehua, it's Lehulani.
Yes.
You actually went out and assisted her in cleaning and prepping the house to live in?
Well, that wasn't the intention. I mean, I didn't even know anything of that was going on. I went out there to join time with Michelle. I rode out with Carlisle,
mm-hmm.
and she was going to talk with Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
And Patty was going to be there also. She had a couple of grandchildren there. So I went there. When I came in, we drove in. She was in the front of the yard with these fongs and all the leaves from the tree she was raking up,
mm-hmm.
and was saying that she needs to take it to the dump yard, to the trash. So I said I'd help her. So I went over to help her, and then I went with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it came back, she said, I have to show you my new place.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay. So she took me to this back cottage, against the cottage.
On Kaminsky's property.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, this is nice. It's kind of away from everything. But when I walk in, I could tell that it hadn't been used because mm-hmm. of the cobwebs and the mm-hmm. shower and things mm-hmm. downstairs. So I went upstairs, and she said she was going to change this and change that. And this was on a Sunday, and there appeared to be an urgency to get it clean within the next day or so.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, you know, if you need help, we can help you. And, of course, that we offer. And then she said, I do need help. I need you to help me clean the shower downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, that's not a problem. So I went downstairs, mm-hmm. and it was a large, large shower room, but had all these cobwebs and spiders in
mm-hmm.
it. So I said, okay, I can start. But she said, well, we can do it, you know, tomorrow. I can come out tomorrow, Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't come out Monday. And she got upset. I ended up coming out on Tuesday. I came out on the bus just to complete my commitment to her. So I went out there to help her, not knowing that she wasn't even there yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I did go out there, and when I went upstairs, this was on Tuesday morning, everything was already in place upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And I went down and finished up cleaning the downstairs shower, and
mm-hmm.
then we left.
So she was living there after setting up the... Okay.
Yeah, she did say also that her friend was coming in Thursday. That's why there was urgency.
Her friend.
Her boyfriend.
Her boyfriend,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was coming in Thursday.
But did the city ever call you, the Ethics Commission call you to investigate or ask you questions?
No.
No,
no one did.
Did they call you, Steve?
Yes, they did.
And what did they ever find in your case?
I just reported. They interviewed me, and
that was it.
I didn't get no response.
How about you, Michelle? You've already indicated they talked to you and you communicate with them. Did they find any wrongdoing on her part?
Well, they said that there is a violation with her being a conflict of interest in that CBAC grant. But because she plays another role or another hat as being a community, in the community, that and that's the role, she's not a city employee sitting on the CBAC grant, that it's not in their jurisdiction to pursue it. But, I mean, you know and I know, Carol, that when you look at this, I mean, she's a city employee, you know, and she does her events as a city employee. There, I don't know how they can say that there's no conflict of interest,
right.
You
well,
know.
One of the things, and I'm always trying to simplify because I, too, listen to radio, and I'm such a dunce at times when it comes to understanding follow-through, but imagine you have a deputy city prosecutor named Don Ficarro, who's running for office for the become the city prosecutor. You have the current city prosecutor at that time running for mayor. Patty Teruya is a city employee who handles these funds and administers these grants or whatever, oversee them or help coordinate, special events coordinator. She's campaigning for them and supporting them. You would think at some point they would have backed off and said, wait, you know, conflict of interest, the appearance. Then, as mayor, Carlisle, so imagine, this is what's puzzling. She's able to still be in place. They took her out of the limelight, put her out of the way, and she's still doing what she did. What does that say about our leaders? What does that say about the city administration, this current, or all of them, to allow this? I had one to tell me when I first started looking at mine was Sandra Seghese to tell me we've got so many calls on her, it's amazing, and suggested that I continue to pursue it and exposing her. Yet, when I prepared to ask for documents about these methods, Seghese became part of the crew of the hiding and what have you. So for the listeners out there, I don't know if you can see the relevance, but I'm trying to lay out so you can get an inside view of what we call, when we call things politics. I don't know if it helps you, but I want you to be equipped with some full understanding and four people coming here testifying from the community. I can't say you should go out and change a complete thinking, but I hope that you are apprise a little more of giving a better insight of what is politics when we use that word so loosely.
Really quickly, I just want the community to know that we didn't, this isn't just coming out now. I went personally to the Ombudsman Ethics Committee. That's how the ethics got involved, because me, myself, Michelle, and Stephen went to the Ethics Committee, and then also the mayor. So there's, you know, it's not like the mayor got the information and then the ethics committee got involved. We went to them, they found violations, but still nothing's happened. And we just I didn't want to have to go to the media. I wanted the mayor just to basically remove her from office in some way, shape, or form, or not have her involved in things like this. But she's still there. And that's why we're finally coming out and saying this, enough is enough.
And I want to thank you guys for staying away from the personal thing, because that's a whole new can, a different can of worms.
Right.
And I'm not here to personally attack anyone in a personal life, but if it crosses the line and your personal life starts to interact and deprive the public of their right as taxpayers, it's fair game, in my opinion. And so having Don Ficarro to come and talk about suing me, I welcome it. I mean, because that means we get to see everything that she's done, and there's no limit then. We get to talk about everything. In a deposition, then we can disclose all things that are out there. And I don't want to insinuate or incriminate her through innuendo, but I would say in my 58 years of living, I've seen people go to jail for much, much less.
All of this is not hearsay that we're talking about here. It is. We have proven facts. We have countless emails with Patty. So, you know, we're not just saying these things.
And firsthand.
Firsthand.
Like Michelle heard firsthand, you were standing there with her when she called Peter Carlisle,
exactly,
the candidate, to help her bail out an issue with a judge on the Big Island.
With her will.
With her will.
Her mother's will.
Yeah, so, again, real quick, we got about 5 more minutes. Anything else you want to add to this or share with us?
I'd like to say something,
okay.
First of all, I just
I thank you very much for, you know, inviting me here and basically get a chance to speak on behalf of my foundation. I just like to take this time, to apologize to my community. Something that my intentions were all good to get something for the kids. You know, the end result, the people who are getting hurt is the bottom, which is where the kids in our community. It affected all our whole community. I had a beautiful venue to get them involved, get the excitement in Hawaiki. Nothing like this was ever happened. Over 25 years, nothing ever happened in Hawaiki, and I was trying to do this event to help my community. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to apologize to all the children that was involved, the clubs, the nonprofit organizations that was involved with this event. Also, my sponsors that was trying to help me put this event on, you know. I got caught into something that I had no control of, my foundation that I belong to. Yeah, definitely got bruised through this event, and it trickles down to the kids that aren't able to benefit something really, really good and exciting for our community.
Right.
Okay. And I just want to say I apologize. And
well, and your organization, again, the lights, they're not out. The one is turning out the lights on you. So what's your organization? How can people contact you real quick?
My organization is the Shaka Foundation. Okay, it's a sentiment for supporting, helping achieve kids' athletics, arts, and academics.
Okay,
and in all that, what we try to do is generate funds to help kids, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my number is 375-4688. Our organization is based out of Hawaii.
And what is your website, real quick?
It's Shaka Kids. shakaidz.com.
Okay. Michelle, real quick, your organization or contact for you?
It's Kunishiki Kids Foundation, and website www.kunishikikidshawaii.com.
Mm-hmm. How long? Anything?
Yeah, I really quickly want to read the last part of a 6-page letter that was written to the mayor. I said, Mr. Mayor, Ms. Turiyo should not be in her new appointed position, as she is not good with the community and not ethical. If she is in this position, she would ostracize all the people that have stepped forward in any, will ostracize any people that have tried to step forward in any future events. After all that we have brought evidence to the city already, she was still appointed? This position? How come? We feel that our cries have fallen on deaf ears. Please, please hear our claims and address this matter. I can see her being put into another position, but not this one. Nothing to do with nonprofit events, community grant associations, or ability to persuade the boards that make the grant decisions or any other position of this nature. Mm-hmm. That was only part of a 6.
Wow.
I've known Patty for, I think, over 5 years now. She's I just want her out of the position. I'm very passionate about it because I've seen it firsthand,
mm-hmm.
and went through a horde last year working with her. And again, I was just the coordinator with helping these different nonprofits, but I hope something happens from this.
Okay. And Lehualani, thank you.
And for me, I thank all the participants of nonprofits, the food vendors, the crafters should come out and speak out.
Okay.
Your problems and your complaints.
Well, anyway, thank all of you, and again, folks, there you have it. Everyone in the community is not apathetic, so we can throw that aside now, and let's make a contribution and expose those that are doing bad things in our community, and let's work. So I'll see you next week, and aloha. You can pick this up at Carol at carolcox.com, carolcox.com. Thank you again.
My mind's telling me no, but my body's telling me yes, baby. I don't want to hurt nobody, but there is something that I must confess. Wrong with a little broken bride.
And I know just what you need, girl. Oh, baby, bring your body to me. Bring your body to me. I'm not fooling around with you. Baby, my love is true with you.
With
for listening, and tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108.